Blog Talk Radio.
As the story goes, an old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson, "There's a fight going on inside me, and this is a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil, is angry, envy, sorrow, full of regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, though, is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Now, this same fight," he tells the grandson, "is going on inside you and inside every other person, too." The grandson, he sat there and thought about it for a minute. He looked up and asked grandfather, "Well, which one wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Yeah.
Good afternoon or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos. Que tal? Oki namaste and welcome. Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. My name is Will Green March 28th, Monday. Live Mondays and Wednesdays, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect. Again, my name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Some call him the Lions Historian, others just call him Unc. But he's just simply my best friend. He's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing, man? I'm exhausted.
Well, you better wake up, goddammit.
Wake up.
If you don't, I got somebody who's going to come along and slap the shit out of you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Indeed.
Couldn't resist. All right, I didn't cuss twice. That's my quota for the rest of the month, right? Oh, good. It's only 3 days left in the month.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you
man. Yeah, it's you know, what we made mention of just in the warm-up, you know, before the show, it's amazing how many shifts there are from one show to the next. I don't care if it's Wednesday till Monday or Monday till Wednesday. It's just, it's like there's no way to anticipate what takes top billing. And I really do. I think it's a testimony to this show that, you know, we try to stay consistent and focused and as much as possible up to date with what we're talking about. But sometimes it doesn't happen that often, you know, but sometimes there's a topic that comes along that doesn't require, you know, either one or the other to have something to say about it while the other talks about something else. Sometimes, you know, an issue comes along that we don't have to be concerned about what the other's thinking about it. You know, it's like we both get equal billing on this topic, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that's to be talked about later. Let me slide off to the side so you can go ahead with the due diligence.
Right on. Well, as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, our shows are live every Monday and Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/TheGreenhouseFX. That's Greenhouse FX, the letter FX. All shows are archived on your favorite listening platform. But the thing about our shows, Mondays and Wednesdays, it gives us a chance to interact and engage with you, the listening audience. So we have a few ways we like to, you know, let you know how you can engage with us. The first thing, though, we like to make sure that you've got a pen and pad handy, pencil and paper. I don't care, a post-it note, marker, an envelope, or a napkin. That's Dad's favorite, a napkin. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the first time I seen my dad draw. He used to sketch on the back of napkins and envelopes. So anyway, we want to make sure you got something to write with. We want to make sure that if you got any questions, comments, anything you want to share with us, or maybe something you'll pick up, we want to make sure that you don't miss it, you don't forget it. So get something, write it down. The second thing is that we have a phone line here. You can call in directly as you can use your pen and paper. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. Just press the 1 button on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue. And you can chime in and talk with us directly. Or you can use the chat room, which is available with a free Blog Talk Radio profile. Just set up an account. It's free. And you can engage with us on in the chat room. And then, of course, you know, occasionally we'll check Facebook also. So there's no excuse. We want to know what's on your mind as well. You know, we like to hear you here. Hear you here? Yeah.
Sometimes. No, we always.
It all depends. It all depends.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. So, you know, things shift, you know, shift as quickly as somebody getting smacked. You know, it's very quick.
All right, let me stop laughing.
I had to throw that in there. So, you know, let's not beat around the bush. Like you said, there's really not anything that we need to get background on or anything like that, unless you've been living under a rock for the last 24 hours? 24
not
hours
a Chris
so.
Rock.
Boom, boom, bam. Well, you laying like Chris Rock, but he didn't hit the ground though. I got to give him that, my man.
Hey, my man, leaned, man. He leaned back, you know, taking his stride. Right on.
Yeah. You know, there was an incident that happened at the Oscars, and I don't know. Yeah, these guys talking about the Oscars. I thought they were all about, you know, whatever it is that you think this is might be outside of our normal realm of discussion, but it actually isn't. And if you listen and engage, you'll see why. So, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get into a lot of background on what happened. So, you know, and I'm just going to jump right in, Dad. I hope you don't mind. You know,
not
some of
all.
The questions, you know, one of the biggest questions everybody is like, you know, do you think he was right or wrong, Will Smith, for smacking Chris Rock? You know, would you do that? Is that something that you would do? And it's hard to,
you know, really answer that question, because for me, my mind just starts running. And immediately I'm thinking about, well, how was the preparation before they, Will and Jada even got to the ceremony? You know, I know a few times, like, you know, you trying to, sometimes as a guy, you got to have patience with your woman getting ready. And it can be a lot. You know? Uh-oh, am I breaking up?
No, no, no. I'm just thinking about what you're saying. Will
I was
said
just
that. Yeah, I didn't. Go ahead, man.
I'm just saying, man. It's just, we just don't know, you know, what the preparation was like before the Oscars. You know, maybe there was something personally going on right before the show or anything like that. I feel like that there was more to just a simple, you know, would you or wouldn't you? I just feel like there was more involved, more behind stuff we don't know. But if you want to answer the question, would you do that? I wouldn't do that. I mean, I think that if I'm pushed, if I'm at that boiling point, I think I would do something like that if I felt like he was disrespecting my wife on purpose. I think that I might do that only because I've I think that might have been maybe because I was drinking, but I've had, you know, moments of anger, but I never hit anybody, you know. And I'm sure that in this hour, you know, we'll talk about, you know, representation, the issues of this black on black violence, if you will, this representation that Will Smith has as an entertainer, as a vessel of love, as he said in his award acceptance speech.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that this show had a major black production, that there were a lot of black representation in the awards, and, you know, Will Smith himself, like a third leading actor, you know, all these things, you know, and it's like, well, why did he do it? I just feel like that there was something that just pop, if you will, unless it was staged, unless they just, you know, unless this was just a hoax.
No, there was no way that was staged, bro.
You know, I mean, you know, if I'm forced to give a yes or no answer, I would have to say yes. That's just because that's the way my arrow leads. But there's so many other dynamics to look at and to talk about. So don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to get up and just smack you because you told a bad joke. Okay, I just want to get that cleared up. But if it was just came down to a yes or no and that's it, nothing in between, my arrow's going to lead to the yes, then to the no. But I understand that, you know, I've dealt with conflict. I de-escalate, you know, that was my career, you know. And so, again, representation, you know, and dealing with conflict. And even though you get that angst, you know, I used to call it that twitch in your shoulder, when you want to throw that punch or throw that slap, but something that holds you there from doing it and from engaging in such an act. So, you know, my question is, you know, why? You know, what really happened? Because it's not like Will Smith is slow. You know, it's not like he's just some cat, some young kid. You know, he's not like the guy he was in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, we've all seen his evolution. We've all seen his change and his ideology, his mindset. You know, and if you haven't read the book yet, please go out and get the book. It tells you right there. So that's my question is, like, what would cause him to do that? You know, understanding what this particular award show meant with him being nominated against Denzel. And again, it's the production team was – you know, was African-American and, you know, so many other things about the representation of black Americans in Hollywood. So I just feel like there's something more there. And I would like to know why he just said, F all that. I'm going to show this guy he was being disrespectful.
Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. You have a lot more, faith and belief in Hollywood representation of individual personalities than I do. You know, let me say that right up front. And I applaud the fact that you feel that way. You know, I know what I would want to believe about Hollywood personalities, but it's Hollywood and everything is so convoluted
I don't know what's real coming out of Hollywood and what's pretend coming out of Hollywood. I don't know, you know, what's normal and what's not so normal coming out of Hollywood. And, you know, Hollywood meaning that whole cinematic lifestyle. I know that Americans, you know, black or white, you know, hold celebrities in high esteem, and we tend to take celebrity personalities to heart. We tend to make people, you know, we tend to make celebrities into real people, into everyday people, into the kind of person I'd like to sit next to and kick it with, you know, or, you know, the one I sit next to and want to slap, you know. So, but, you know, I guess that's what makes, you know, especially silver screen celebrities so popular in our culture, you know, because we get to make them whatever we want to make them based on how they project themselves on the screen. But as far as actually knowing them as you know, human beings, I only have the movies and the interviews to go by. And I have found more so than not that the interviews tend to be unsettling, very different than the characters that I've created in my own head. So I don't have the opportunity. I mean, I know, yeah, you know, you write a book. Well, you know, the thing I know about book writing is that you get to choose what goes in it. And with skilled individuals, you get to have it crafted in the way that you want to say it. And a lot of people even have people who write it for them, and they just slap their names on it. You know, I know damn well that if anything comes out of Donald Trump's camp, he didn't write it. You know, so, yeah, it's an at the moment kind of thing to me. All we have to go by is at the moment. And the Oscars for me aren't what they used to be, but they used to be something very special. And it was very special in line with what you're saying, man. It was very special to me because I wanted to see somebody black get something, when for the longest nobody black got anything. I wasn't privy to seeing Hattie McDaniel receive her Academy Award from Gone with the Wind. But in reading about it, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because it would have made me want to slap somebody, you know, that she wasn't even allowed to sit, you know, with the Hollywood crew, the Hollywood audience, and everybody there knew that. And obviously they were okay with it because silence is permission to carry on. You know, so for me, it has to take a quantum leap, you know, and people may question why is, you know, Sidney Poitier such an iconic figure for me, because I got to pretend that he was everything that I saw on the screen, but more importantly, what I saw on the screen helped shape my character, I'd like to believe, to the point even where Lilies of the Field, I'm sorry, To Serve with Love, you know, after having, you know, seen it for the umpteenth time, both in my, you know, time in the service and my time in Madness and then my time in Civility, you know, changed how I did counseling for substance abusers. And just the whole scope of preparation to enter into the normal world after having lived such a time in abnormality, in an unacceptable circumstance. So, and it's not hard to only to be able to name those moments because they've been so far and in between, right, where black folk, man and woman, male and female, have been recognized for their skill, for their craft, you know, and also the acknowledgement of lack of opportunity to, in fact, sharpen their craft. Like, I love what we do with this show because we're constantly looking to improve our skills. And we're fortunate in one sense to have the kind of platform, you know, that even though, you know, we risk it every week because of the millions of listeners.
Millions and millions.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we still learn every day. So, yeah, I'm fully with you about, since we don't really have the skinny, since we don't really have the dope, since we don't really have the inside track, we only have what we have, which is the media, to go by to give us some insight. But even that is limited. So, but we do have the personalized interviews where, like in this case, you have a Will Smith and a Jada Pinkett Smith speaking in interviews, televised. So we have living quotes. It's not made up things. Yeah, we can take it apart, chop it up, spit it back out in how we want to choose to interpret it. But when you have that living testimony, that's a little bit of a little more of an indicator to go by than just hearsay. Yeah, and, you know, black folk love hearsay. You know, we specialize on hearsay mainly because, you know, we're not adequately, forget fairly, we're not adequately represented in the overall social medium. You know, we're totally dependent on our own voice. And when our voice is muted or canceled, yeah, as in, you know, black network, you know, black news.
I see what you did there. Okay.
Yeah, the black news cable, you know, then, you know, what do we do? Where do we find, you know, our mouthpiece?
Yeah.
Pariah Chidea wrote a book, Who Monitors the Media? And she wrote that back in the 90s. So it's at least 20 years old, and it still applies even more so today. It has so many things that the Internet reveals that we otherwise wouldn't have privy to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Could I imagine the Oscars having an event like what took place in the 60s? No. But at the same time, you know, when Halle Berry won her Academy Award for Monster Ball, you know, Adrian Brody ran up on stage and grabbed Sister Girl and busted,
yeah,
a big slob on her, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like the repercussions of that were hushed. She wasn't happy with it. The audience was stunned by it. But there was no fallout that was as readily, you know, thrown out there like, you know, this circumstance. I tell you, wherever we go with this, and I'm looking at the clock as I talk, wherever we go with this and whatever we have to say about it, right or wrong, justified, unjustified, I have to just express my adoration for Chris Rock's composure, you know, through being assaulted like that on national TV and was still able to not only finish his monologue, think on his feet, but present, you know, the Oscar for, you know, that documentary, you know, and walk off the stage with the rest of the crew. You know, man, I mean, now I hear what you're saying about, you know, maybe anger could cause one, maybe even yourself, to react like Will did, but I would hope that within me, I'd have the fortitude to maintain my composure and my sense of professionalism, and, you know, take on, you know, the posture of Chris Rock. But the other side of it is that, damn, I hope I don't ever say nothing on national TV to piss somebody off like that, you know, for whatever the reason. And I think that's, yeah, what you're speaking to. We don't really know. We know what the buzz reason is, you know, and you got the, you know, empathizers and the sympathizers and the rescuers, you know, and we know that's what's going to come to life, especially, you know, on social media when it involves a kind of situation like this one, you know, two black men and a black woman caught in the middle. You know, so we, you know, kind of have a sense of where that's going to go even yesterday. Even last night, I mean, like, I happened to wander into the Oscars. I had no intention of watching it. Like I told you, I just wanted to upgrade my awareness of the movies that were out, because I've totally lost contact of what's out there. I've totally lost contact with who's out there doing what.
Right.
And then I got just kind of lured into, okay, let me see what, when I heard them say that Chris Rock would be returning, you know, to present such and such after the break, I thought, well, you know, I got to check out my man because he's funny to me, you know. And I remember when he hosted the Oscars, he was hilarious to me. So yeah, bet. So, you know, and then this live thing happened, but believe me, man, there wasn't nothing staged about that. That was not fake. You know, there wasn't no sound effect and there wasn't no clapping of the hand to simulate a face being smacked, man. And you could tell, like you said, you could see Chris like with that Chris Rock grin as Will was, you know, huffing and puffing up on him.
Right.
And, you know, you could see the recoil effect and you could see it all over Chris's face. Like, Damn, really? Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What convinced me that it was real was Chris's reaction or, you know, his non-reaction, you know, and you're right. You know, as much as I know I have these hot tempers, I know that I also have the capability to you know, be cool in tough situations.
Yeah.
That's why I was just throwing the whole thing with his wife, Jada, into it. Yeah. But, you knew it was real, man, when he was trying to bring it back. And he's like,
yeah,
you know, we're presenting the documentary. Oh, no, we're presenting the award for the documentary. And then you can see that he was kind of just coming back into it. But at the same time, if you ever been hit before, there's still that time when you stand in there and it's like, damn.
And
then what you say, he had to, I didn't see what happened after that. So he was up there on stage for a while, right? And he was up there with the people and they gave him an award and, you know, still...
and they had to wait till the award was presented, had to wait till the people gave their, you know, their acceptance speech, had to stand there. And he had to stand there and not look like he was plotting revenge.
I kicked that butt.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm sorry, there goes my voice. He had to just, you know, he stood there and took it, man. Wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean... You know, that's some powerful stuff there. And then, okay, so let's chop it up, right? So what's the deal? What's the yay and the nay? Here's my question. When are jokes not jokes? And therefore, when are slaps justified? You know, so, I mean, that's not my question to you. That's just my general question, you know. And, you know, just right along with that, we could go down the list, you know, and of judgment, because that's what the whole thing is being. It's being judged right now. And we could just go down the list and just ask the redundant questions, you know, like, you know, was it a crude joke? Was it distasteful? Was it disrespectful? You know, was it degrading? Was it hurtful? Was it intentional? You know, and I think, in the end, that's, to me, what the main thrust of it is. Was it intentional to insult, to do harm? You know, I like so many others, and I know everybody's going to get the pronunciation of the disease correct, because that's how we love to make it sound like we know what we're talking about. You know, but alopecia, is that how you pronounce it, alopecia?
Oh, I thought it was alopecia.
Okay, alopecia. Fine, you know, but alopecia, alopecia, you know, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the thing that causes hair loss and the fact that it affects Black and Hispanic women more than anybody else, and there's no real absolute known cause, you know. So the question then becomes, what is it like psychologically, you know, especially for a woman, but in particular, you know, and I'm not, you know, disregarding Hispanic women, but the history of Black women and hair has been a constant struggle. I think you mentioned earlier that Chris Rock even did a documentary, right?
Right, called Good Hair.
Called Good Hair. I didn't see it. Did you see it?
It's been a while. That was 2009 when that came out.
I didn't see it at all. Yeah. Do you remember if it was like a if it was a parody or if it was, you know, something with substance to it?
Yeah, it had some comedy to it. But basically it was, you know, kind of like his way of, you know, his film way of doing things. But basically they were looking to explore the importance of hair in the Black culture.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had some comedy in there, but, you know, it was just about the hair and the struggles. And, you know, he's got daughters. And so, you know, he understands the issues that many Black women have when it comes to their hair, you know, the yeah. or whatever it is when it comes to the hair in our community, in our culture. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have daughters, so I don't know what's that, you know, what it's like. And I don't remember the documentary, but that was the basis of it, you know. So
yeah, yeah. And the validity of it historically has been that constant issue, that constant flaw, that constant degradation that has to do with black women having to live up to, you know, white women beauty
right.
statements, you know, always the comparative in a negative way. You know, I mean, like, but it's amazing how things like big booties and big lips are becoming, you know, suddenly popular in the white culture,
yeah.
you know, white female culture anyway, where that was, you know, that was the slam. But black women still having to deal with the negative connotations regardless. I remember the movie 10 and Bo Derek dancing around with, you know, what was it, braids, you know,
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
you know, a white chick with blonde braids and how that was just the essence of the movie. What a look. You know, black women looking like that is, uh-oh, you know, where's the gun? You know, where's the anger? You know, and it's, you know, like the froze of the 60s, man, that I love that look. You know, but the froze of the 60s was a statement not of fashion, but of culture. You know, but still the issue at hand. I remember when I was watching this TV series, East Side, West Side, when it first came on, and I think it only lasted a season. I don't know. But I'm thinking it only lasted a season. It was with George C. Scott, very powerful drama for me, like a 14-year-old. But I remember this young sister was a co-star. And I remember hearing my mama and her friends, maybe her sisters, slamming this young sister because she had this short crop fro, you know, which, you know, I wasn't quite into I was just at the edge of the shift in identity in the early 60s. So I wasn't really up on the significance of this, you know, this black skin beauty wearing this short cropped hair. All I knew is that it was different and sexy. But I remember my ma and her friend saying she ought to be ashamed of herself. Why don't she put on a wig? Well, that was Cicely Tyson, you know, and of course, you know, the evolution of time still had to deal with these cultural shifts, as
yeah.
it still does today. And I'm like at the outs of that. You know, I'm no longer relevant. You know, relevant because, you know, like this is a disposable society America is, and you know, black folks ain't got no time to be tying the lines between history. So, you know, I'm on the outer edge of immediacy when it comes to, you know, black culture and black identity. I'm kind of obsolete, you know, in my commentary other than those closest to me. But, you know, that's the whole point of us bridging the gap of generations, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I was going to say, but it's your comments and your, you know, the things you have to share and express. This is what, you know, kind of gave birth to us, if you will. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
You know, I think your experiences and the things you share, I know for me, sometimes I have a lot of, aha moments, you know, regardless of, you know,
yeah.
what you and I have always talked about personally for, you know, 50 years or whatever, there's still moments on this show. And I'm telling you, I believe that there's a lot of people that have those moments sometimes, like, oh, you know, not like, oh, I see where I get it from, but, you know, it's like, oh, I can see where that thought process came from or how it's developed to where we are today. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I'm just making
it
sure
is.
That, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we're not taking, as I like to say, the jewels that you have, that you bring, man, that you bring every show. I'm sorry to say, man, I got caught up for a second, but
no, man, what are you talking about? That's a compliment, man. Yeah. I sure prefer you saying man than dog.
Right, that's what it's all. I was thinking about that the other day, but hey, that's another story for another time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah.
So, you know, I was also, thinking, and I you tease me a lot about like movies and Hollywood, like you just said earlier. I think what we talked about earlier, that functioning schizophrenia that most black Americans deal with. But I can't imagine. I remember being younger and I was like, oh, I want to be an actor, you know. I want to
do that.
You wanted
to be a comedian, man. Yeah.
No, I didn't want to be kidding, man.
Yeah,
I got terrible
timing. You wanted to be a comedian, man. You know, we had the three of us talked about that. And we didn't try to talk you down from the edge. You know, we tried to explain to you what it meant, what you were going to have to deal with and what it entailed. But ask your mom. You wanted to be a comedian.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, well, that's my job.
I'm going to call my mama.
Yeah, call your mama. I bet she'll remember. Yeah, I'm hoping she will. Yeah, because
I
wasn't even getting high then.
Oh, dang. So there's no excuse. Huh? So,
yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I always, you know, thought about being in entertainment. Let's say that. But I, you know, again, it's like this guy has evolved into this persona. You know, he's evolved or, you know, reimagined himself to where he is today, you know, and recognizing a lot of the excellence that came, black excellence. I've been hearing a lot of that phrase lately from last night to today. And the black excellence that was involved back into the Oscars with the production, again, with the list of nominees and the other representation that the Oscar had to present. But black excellence, while in white Hollywood, it just seems like such a quandary, you know, like some kind of vortex or black hole or something. Like it's hard for it to really truly exist. You know, like you said that they're actors, but acting is just pretending. You know, taking on these roles, taking on this energy, these emotions and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, you're not really supposed to take on these people. So in the end, you're pretending. You can't take that character home with you. You know, it'll kill you.
The idea. Well, kill you or, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're with me. But, you know, it's like, when do we have to stop being perfect? You know, and everybody's like, if they were white, or if this was so-and-so, you know, it's still at this point where we got to be perfect. We always got to be perfect.
Yeah.
And if you have a flaw or something like that, then you're not good. Yeah.
Perfect just to be equal. Go ahead on.
Perfect just to be equal. And now here's this thing that happened in front of all these American white people and at the Oscars, this white Hollywood representation, and these two black boys going to throw a fight in front of everybody. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, but these cats slap each other all day. You know, they stormed the freaking Capitol. You know, you know, all the way back to 82 when Jerry Lawler slapped Andy Kaufman on David Letterman, you know, and you talked about what Brody did to Halle Berry, you know, and it goes on and on, and it's okay, you know, and it's just a joke, it's just a show, you know, but then when this happens, it's like, oh my God, Will, he's on drugs. They got, you know, it was staged and this and that, you know, but in the end, everybody's talking about how it was embarrassing. And even this moment of, I mean, he was wrong. He just publicly put out an apology to Chris Rock, in addition to everybody else.
Took him long enough. Yeah.
Yeah. He just
released. And he probably had to be convinced to do that. And that reaction is normal to me because the man felt justified. So, you know, he had to do a whole lot of taking back. He had to hear a whole lot of, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But if I'm feeling that right, it's going to take me a minute, you know, to hear how I'm wrong or at least hear how somebody deserves an apology. You know, yeah. So, you know, this is real. I mean, this is real. You know, it's brought right to our faces. However, if I could just right quick, just jump in. I just want to throw some flavor into this because,
absolutely.
You know, no issues happen without, you know, some kind of foundation. And so it becomes a question. So what's up with this? For me, it did. You know, well, Jada and Will Smith, their beef with Chris Rock at the Oscars goes back to at least 2016 when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars. The Smiths chose to boycott due to no actors of color being nominated that year or the year prior. Chris Rock said during his monologue, Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited. So, you know, of course the audience, funny. And then he went on to add, it is not fair that Will Good and didn't get nominated, talking about the movie Concussion, which I saw, and Will was down, no question about it. But Chris didn't leave it at that. Of course he did. He went on to say, it's also not fair that Will was paid $20 million for Wild Wild West. But neither one of them was there. And when it was mentioned to Jada later on, she said, you know, you just have to keep moving forward. Okay. So obviously that wasn't exactly something that got over that well with them even being joked about at that time, you know. And in his acceptance speech for receiving the Oscar for Best Actor in King Richard, after apologizing to everyone but Chris Rock, Will went on to say, love makes you do crazy things. And so that's where I got caught. So what love is he talking about, and what crazy things is he making reference to? I know the crazies that I've gone through in my life, both, you know, drunk and sober. You know, I know the angers that I've experienced. I remember them better sober than drunk, but nevertheless, or high, but nevertheless, I remember stepping outside of myself and wondering, where is this coming from? And, you know, there's been more than enough people to jump in front of me and say, yeah, you got anger issues. Yeah, you got anger issues. That's something you can relate to, Will? You know, like, you don't get to be mad without it being your psychological problem. You know, the issue gets lost, and the lack of accurate and adequate communication gets disregarded. Let a black man get angry, you know, he's got a problem, period. So then what is the role supposed to be? So when I heard him say love makes you do crazy things, you know, now I get to one part, okay, you know, so Chris said something 6 years ago that didn't sit well with them. What was going on in their marriage 6 years ago? You know, what does this thing have to do with love makes you do crazy things? Besides that, at the beginning of the Oscars last night, Regina Hall made a joke, you know, at the expense of Will and Jada, you know, which they handled, you know, like pros. Hall said during her monologue that certain A-list audience members, you know, their COVID tests had been lost. And then when she called Bradley Cooper, you know, Simu Lee and Timothy Chalamet to the stage, you know, the Hollywood audience understood she was acknowledging those males she at one time had a crush on, this before she got married. And then she went on to say, Will Smith, you're on my list too, but you're married. Looks like Jada approved it. And both of them laughed. As a matter of fact, Jada kind of, you know, according to reports, laughed almost hysterically, you know. And when invited to come to the stage, you know, Will left, you know, stayed in his seat looking kind of, you know, sheepishly embarrassed, you know. And Hall's reference seemed to have something to do with Will's admission that the couple haven't always had a monogamous relationship, you know. And he went on in an interview, he went on to say, you know, that Jada believed in conventional marriage, you know, that it didn't believe in conventional marriage. Jada had family members that had an unconventional relationship, so she grew up in that way that was very different than how, you know, he grew up. Now, this is him talking about it in an interview that you can, you know, hear, you can view, you can watch on what is the name of that? I can't think of it right now, you know. Not iTunes, you know, the one I'm talking about, that you can go back and, you know, see videos, listen to music, and all you got to, you know the one I mean.
Yeah.
And it just escapes me right now. But anyway, you know, so it's like, you know, in July 2020, after 23 years of marriage, they briefly separated after Jada got involved with someone named August Alsina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much younger dude, you know, to which Jada explained during an interview, we actually became really, really good friends. And it all started with him just needing help and me wanting to help his health, his mental state. You know, and so we, for me, I began to then, okay, let's, you know, let me connect the dots here. You know, let me see what's going on, because we don't get a chance, you know, we take a moment, in this case, of hostility, and then we just focus on the moment, but not, what does this moment mean? What's more to it? What's the depth of it that I don't know? And so when I start hearing about this, you know, monogamous relationship that eventually became something other than monogamous, and how, you know, and I remember a few years ago seeing Will Smith on TV where the both of them were being interviewed, and seeing him almost come to tears, obviously was a painful situation. And then reflecting on the kids, you know, like their two children, and Jaden's comment that this is how we do it. Now, a lot of people said he meant that's how we do it as far as winning the award. And some people said, no, he meant this is how we do it. We don't take no S off, no shit off of anybody. But I thought, okay, based on the things I'm reading, maybe what he was saying is this is how we do it. When faced with a calamity, we don't talk about it. We react, and in many cases, overreact. Remember, young boy, you know, decided he wanted to move out when he was 16. Yeah. And, you know, and mom and dad were cool with that. Well, that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of a privileged attitude to say we don't discipline our children. We let them make up their own minds. Yeah, but you let them do that knowing that they're financially secure, you know, and you let them do that knowing that they always got a home to come back to. You know, one of the problems that black folks have is that our kids stay home for a long time. y'all need to be raised on a farm so you get the hell out of here when you're 16. you know, what part of this life? So, you know, I just wanted to hurry up and interject that, man. Thank you for letting me do it. You know, it's like, let's see how far we can go, you know, with understanding, you know, what can cause such a powerful reaction. And of course, you know, like Tiffany Haddish, who was on the show, you know, she said, you know, that she really applauded what he did, you know, because she saw a black man stand up for his wife, you know, and that meant so much to her. But then you had Katie Griffin write, now we all, meaning comedians, have to worry about who wants to be the next Will Smith in comedy clubs and theaters. You know, so we're back to, you know, back to the situation of, you know, what's okay in the society right now that's so sensitive to everything being said and so quick to react to things, you know, that society doesn't like. Of course, for me, you know, it's a constant struggle. You know, I remember, you know, how, you know, nigger was considered to be an absolute negative, totally unacceptable. And we only said it to each other out of anger. It was never a compliment. And even out of anger, especially as a youngster, the wrist was being slapped right on the spot, you know, by one of those caretakers of the hood. So there was nothing positive about that. And, of course, I've watched it become more and more. I remember Richard Pryor first came out with the album Craps, and I was working at the Chicago Tribune. I hadn't been drafted yet. I was about 19. And I was, you know, with my peers, you know, we were all copy boys, even though I had privilege to working on the picture desk. But anyway, so I showed up with a tie on every day. But some of the guys were kicking it about Richard Pryor's, you know, album Craps. And one of the white boys, you know, and all of them were white. I was the only black face around, except for one reporter, Bob Jackson, who took me under his wing. And one of the white dudes was, you know, reciting almost word for word Richard Pryor's album, Craps. And then one of them had to do with this guy, Nigga Jim. And my man kept, you know, he was, like, taking pride in the fact that he was imitating Richard Pryor doing this skit. And I'm, like, having to hear this, you know, telling myself, you don't want to explode. Just grin, and you know what that grin looked like. You know, just grin with the rest of them while they're just laughing their asses off. And I don't have to describe that grin. Yeah.
No,
you know.
You don't. No.
Yeah,
cheeks hurt,
you know,
starts
and,
getting hot. Yeah.
You know, and the teeth are being pulled back from the cheeks, you know,
oh,
and
yeah,
it's still supposed
yeah
to be a grin. So, you know, these things are the things that just flooded my mind when my man said, you know, love makes you do crazy things. You know, it made me think about, you know, all the episodes in my life where I felt like I turned my back on myself. You know, all the situations in my life where I felt like I wasn't allowed to represent my emotions the way I was feeling them. Or all the times in my life when I overreacted and had to pay the price for that. And in many times still do. You know, when people have, you know, when people assign a label to you, you never get out from under that label. You know, that label remains, and the only thing people get to do is to attest to whether you're better at the label or not. Like, you know, he's an angry dude, but he's not as angry as he used to be. You know, it's never he's, you know, a man. He's an angry man who isn't quite as angry as he used to be. You never
yeah
get past that label once it's been attached. So the other option, of course, is, you know, not to say anything. And then, of course, you're a man who doesn't express his feelings. Why don't you ever express your feelings?
Right.
So then you
right
become a man who's all locked up in his feelings. You know, it's a crazy assignment to be black in America. You
yeah
know, but thank you, man, for just letting me, you know, express those. And, you know, there's more to it, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to get into all that. Just reliving that moment, the shock of what I witnessed, you know, wore off a little bit. The realities of my life and have been springing up ever since. And reading about people's take on, you know, the yays and the nays, the pros and the cons, still, you know, no real recognition of what it's like for two black dudes, you know, and maybe grew up very much alike, maybe not. But what's it like at the pinnacle of their success to still have to be confronted with whatever the insecurities are that we know, meaning me and you, know that exist in all black men, no matter what their station in life is. You know, you can't outperform being a black man in America in the end. I don't care if you're Chris Rock, Denzel, Will, Terrence Howard, my boy Don Cheadle, Sidney Poitier. You know, I don't care who he is. We know,
yeah,
you know, what, you know, the persona is, but we also know what the reality is, whether we're hearing about it or reading about it or not. Yeah, amen.
Yeah, I wonder if there is a way to find a middle ground, if you will, to find what is the phrase you call it in relationships when you got to find that middle piece to
tiebreaker.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, write that down, tiebreaker. So, you know, I wonder if maybe they can find a tiebreaker in reference to something that you spoke on with just dealing with, I don't know, mental health or something for, you know, black America's mental health or relationship health. You know, so one thing we didn't mention, just one thing we didn't really get into was the healthy / you did a little bit in that article, the healthy / unhealthy relationship with Jada and Will, and how,
yeah,
for whatever reason, whatever their relationship is or has evolved into, literally spilled out onto the stage and smacked the shit out of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Amen. Good point, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Very good point.
I mean, Jada could have easily grabbed Will, too. Like, hold on. You know, I know what you're about to do. It's okay. You know, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but there was something else there, and I think at least their relationship needs to be discussed as well, because a lot of people's focus is just on Will Smith and Chris Rock. So in the end, I want to bring Adam in too, but in the end, you know, I can't really say if there's any. I don't think that anybody is right. I don't even want to go there. Like, oh, I'm Team Chris, I'm Team Will. You know, I think they both have to be held accountable for some way, if we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Well, only but, because if I'm only, it's just like, just as an example, if we're going to talk about like black representation, as a black man, he shouldn't have got up there and slapped Chris Rock. Well, maybe as a black man who has black daughters and who did a documentary about the struggles of black women and their hair, et cetera, you know, that maybe he should have held off on that. Not really. And I know there's the argument also of censorship and the issues of comedians having to say what they want to say, such as the issues with Dave Chappelle and the LGBTQ community, you know. But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to hold one guy accountable in these categories, then make sure the other guy is held accountable in the same categories.
Yeah, and but I think maybe you misinterpreted what my, you know, what my comment was going to be. I think, you know, that within the context of who they are, they both are right. You know, the question isn't about, to me, it isn't about, you know, right or wrong. It's about judgment. You know, and then so how do we judge? You know, because Will reacted in the way he felt was right. You know, Chris did what Chris does, stand-up comic, who had an opportunity to, you know, to do what he does when it comes to identifying and picking on, if you want to call it that, or recognizing somebody who's right there in the foreground. All I know is that I've watched a lot of white comedians make a career out of doing this very thing, cats like Don Rickles, who made a whole career out of attacking people to the point where people considered it to be a badge of honor or something if he insulted you. I don't know what the skin is for people who are on the receiving end of a Chris Rock joke. All I know is that for me, you know, if he acknowledged me in the crowd, all I know is that that would come with some prestige after the show was over. And sure, you know, in the anticipation of Will winning Academy Award, he could have made it a part of his speech to talk about the importance of, how did you pronounce it? I said alopecia. I like the way you said it. You said it.
Alopecia.
Yeah, you say it with flair and poetic expression. I like that. You know, he could have made a statement about how brave his wife was, you know, to venture out in such a, you know, such a prestigious event. She was definitely dressed to the hilt, you know, and, you know, how she stepped on out with, you know, and he could have spoken about the disease that affects black and Hispanic women, you know, and he could have, okay, so he don't win the award, so he could have made a great, you know, champion statement in all the interviews, because, you know, he would have been flooded with interviews with Chris Rock having slammed his wife, you know, and with any degree of restraint from her, you know, that would have, to me, made it clear that she had his best interests in mind and appreciated that he was getting ready to have her back. You know, so, you know, like, regardless, Will would have come out on the winning end, you know, and definitely would have, you know, had me champion his cause even more. But then comes the issue, you know, of comic restraint. You know, what do we do? You know, how does it dealt with? You asked the question about, you know, black personalities in the dynamics of American society. What's normal? What isn't? What's acceptable? What isn't? Well, we'll never know until we're the object of research. You know, not the comparative, but the singular object of research. Taking a look at black complexes, taking a look at black family systems, taking a look at the effect of slavery on black psyche, black persona. Taking a look at, in a country like America, you're dealing with one particular class of people that's had to be slave, colored, Negro, black, Afro, and African American, all within the context of one lifetime. What does it feel like to be called a Negro when there's no such place as Negro land? You know, how does it impact on the fiber and the psyche of the black family system that started out fragmented, that started out with, you know, black men being emasculated and black women being sexually abused? See, these are the things that no one gets into because this is the research that no one does. I'm talking about singular, not as a comparative, but what it's like to be black in America, you know, what it's like to deal with these things. You know, man, there's a rage that exists in black people, you know, that all we've ever done is be taught how to contain it. Take Ketanji Brown. Now, you want to talk about a Will Smith slap somebody in the face moment? How many situations, you know, came up for him to step out of her body and just start slapping the shit out of people like Ted Cruz and that that boy Holly from Kansas City, and
yeah.
and Nelson, you know, the guy in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, you know, and et al., all the rest of them, you know. So, you know, that. But what was the compliment to her? How she maintained her composure, and how friends said she's always learned how to be that way. You know, so that's the, to me, the left-hand compliment, that we never get to show our anger for fear of retribution one way or the other, man. Yeah, that's all I got to say. Really, that's all I got to say. Hello, hello. Come on, come on.
Oh, damn, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had the button press. I was like, wow, it's actually 8 o'clock. That was perfect.
So you want to bring Adam in, man?
Yeah, yeah. I want to bring Adam in for a minute. Just real quick, I appreciate his patience as always. Hey, good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Who's articulate?
You're talking about, yeah, Ketanji Brown. They were saying that,
okay.
that she's so articulate.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is, I mean, I think that's just a slap in the face. how many white people that can speak well are defined as articulate?
I mean, there's been many because that's how they got to be articulate, you know, by defining what that meant. You know, I think what you may be implying is that how many had to be articulate under fire, you know, under racial attack, under the racial abuse, you know, that only, you know, can be slung, you know, at a black face, you know, by a white face, you know, from seats of power,
yeah.
that is. You know, I think that's what, and all we have is articulation to express our anger. You know, that's, and the more articulate we are, the safer we are. You know, people love to pick on somebody who isn't going to react. Oh, people just love that in this country. You know, people
yeah.
who speak of peace. Oh, good, then I get to just hang your ass. You know, and you go out smiling. You know.
Right. You're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what's good?
I wanted to say happy belated birthday.
Oh, man, you wish me happy birthday. Yeah, but thank you, man. Yeah.
Well, I know, but I wanted to do it on air. And
I'm
sorry, but I had to ask, how many videos did it take for you to make that shot? Was it one and done, or did it take a couple?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't doing the video, so I didn't even know it existed, you know. But I wasn't going to, you know, like, use up that little spot to show, you know, me running around for about 45 minutes, you know, especially, you know, knowing that I look like I swallowed a basketball anyway. You know, so, you know, I mean, I'm just glad that nephew Ray caught, you know, a sweet shot. But, you know, I had never seen myself shoot a basketball before. So I didn't care about anything else. It was great that he caught that, man. That was like that was a gift, you know, to have the opportunity to actually see myself do that, man. And I, you know, like not have ever seen it. Shit, Chuck, shoot. I like the way that stroke looked, man. It's like right on.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
yeah.
No, absolutely. I give you a ton of credit, and it was a beautiful shot. So I have two questions. In regards to the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. So my first is just as a man in general, when Chris Rock made the comment and Will Smith walked up, Chris Rock is standing up there with his hands behind his back.
I'm sorry. I just think about that every time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
So my thing is, if I'm going to talk about anybody's wife, and they walk up on me, I'm not going to have my hands behind my back just sitting there like everything's cool. So that's just one question that I have. Is that
what's Chris the question? Rock,
well, but the way Chris Rock acted when Will Smith approached him on stage that didn't seem normal.
So what's
at least to me. So is that normal? If somebody's attacking your wife, if someone says something about your wife and then they confront you, you don't think that they're going to walk up on you and do something, and you're going to be that submissive, for lack of a better term?
Well, okay, you're giving like a barroom statement to Oscar Award ceremony where everybody's dressed to the hilt, everybody's done this a million times, everybody knows Chris Rock, everybody knows Will Smith, everybody knows Jada Pinkett Smith. What we don't know is what their relationship, the three of them, what their relationship is. You know, what we don't know is, well, why would Chris Rock be concerned about Will walking up and slapping the shit out of him? You know, Will Smith has never shown that kind of behavior in public. But Chris Rock has sure been a hardcore comedian that said, I mean, you know, he just said something about them just a few years ago when he hosted the Oscars. So the question for me would be, you know, what kind of relationship do they have that Chris Rock would not, you know, have been anticipating Will coming up and doing that? You know, and what kind of, you know, what kind of issues exist inside of Will at this prestigious moment that tells him it's okay to do that? You know, I mean, so, you know, to me, the questions go beyond the scope of, you know, what it would be like if you're sitting at home having a house party and somebody, two people get into a fight. This was, you know, man, I mean, this was like right within the platform of what they all do, what they do, to be able to be recognized and awarded for it. You know, this wasn't just a hanging out moment. This wasn't an after party. This was a prestigious event. This wasn't, you know, the BET, you know, Grammy Awards or whatever, where it's been, you know, riddled with violence for the last few years. This is something that has a history of, you know, of prestigious, you know, moments. So I don't really know how to answer that question if I have to lower it to, you know, if I have to lower my own standards to looking at it like any other situation of confrontation on the street. You know, I just, you know, I'm sorry, man. I don't have a better way to respond to it.
Well, no, yeah. And that was my own question. Was it? It didn't seem it. Anybody else in any other event, if somebody rushed the stage or walked up on the stage, whether either security's coming up or somebody's going to jump in front of it. And again,
but we're not talking about, we're talking about the Academy Award has never happened. So there's no reason to anticipate it would have turned out to be what it turned out to be regardless. How many people have attacked Chris Rock on stage for doing his performance? This is him doing Chris Rock.
Okay.
How many times have people, I mean, here's what the comedians are saying. So what now? You know, do we have to have security around us when we, you know, are doing our act? Should we anticipate somebody's going to jump out of the rafters on us or plug us? You know, that's the next thing. Just, you know, like show their anger by shooting us? Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry, man.
I was just wondering, what was the second question?
The second question, and Chris Rock is a genius. He's absolutely a genius. But do you think he's that quick-witted to sit there and look at Jada Smith and see her bald head and come off the dome or immediately think, G.I. Jane 2?
Yeah, I mean, if that again can go either way, that depends on his intent. You know, was it malice or anything like that? And there's still a lot of things, a lot of context that we're not these people. We don't know. I honestly didn't think that it was a bad joke. I thought it was more or less a compliment. You know, I thought Demi Moore was pretty darn fly. You know, she looked good. You know, and she looked tough.
And so did Jada. She was
and Jada
that
does.
Ball
you know, yeah. You know, I like that. No, I think that a lot of women look great like that. You know, so I thought it was really. I really thought it was a compliment. Was it timed right? You know, probably not. You know, but
really?
I didn't. I don't. I mean, I'm just saying, just because of some of the audience's reaction.
Right.
No, it's okay.
I'm not.
Just because of
I'm sorry.
Some of the audience's reaction. And like they said, they said it wasn't rehearsed. So, yeah, he just spit it out there. So, you know, that's that whole context. Again, him having kids and should understand the struggles. But he's a comedian, too, you know, again. But if we're going to hold people accountable for, you know, black excellence, then I think that should be taken into account. That's just my opinion. As far as him getting slapped.
Do you think he's that witty where he walks out and sees Jada sitting there and the first thing he thinks about is G.I. Jane 2?
I mean, he's Chris Rock.
Absolutely.
That's why he's Chris Rock.
I think he's that quick. Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he's Chris Rock.
Yeah. Good comedians are. Good comedians
come with it.
You know, base their material on the moment. You know, man. I mean, you ever watch Richard Pryor? You think everything he says is scripted? It's just the way he delivers it, you know. They draw from the moment, you know, and they go off script all the time. Huh?
They draw from whatever they see.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have to because they always dealing with hecklers, you know. They're always dealing with you know whatever the audience. Behavior is going to be at any given moment. They don't ever know, you know, how well what they say is going to, you know, get over. All I know is based on what I've watched and what I heard without knowing anything about. How do you pronounce it again, Will? So I love the way you say it. Alopecia. Yeah.
There you go.
You know, like I'm a guy who used to say, you know, like it took me forever to learn how to pronounce ampicillin. I'm not going to tell you how I used to say it. But anyway, you know, not knowing anything about that, that's, you know, what the condition was that she was dealing with. I don't know, you know, if, in fact, even if he knew that that's what she was, you know, suffering from, if the comment would have been off color. You know, the jury is still out. Half the people laughed, half the people didn't. Half the people have come to Chris Rock's defense. Half the people have come to Will Smith's defense and left Jada in the middle. You know, but one thing for sure, I can't say for sure, but one thing that not knowing one thing from the other, seeing how she looked, I thought, bet, you know, hearing what Chris Rock said, I thought, right on. You know, I looked at her face and I thought, what was the statement made that I'm missing? Because, boy, she,
yeah.
I mean, Will was laughing at first.
Will was laughing.
The next thing
Will
I do,
laughing.
Pow! Yeah, like, man,
Will
so.
Was laughing. I think Jada smacked Will. And Will's like, no, I'm not taking this. I'm going to go smack Chris.
But what a wonderful thing for her to have, you know, such grace to show up and, you know, not wear a wig, you know, and be, you know, be Jada. You know, and I thought, right on. But obviously, it was, well, I can't say obviously, to me, maybe, you know, two dynamics were in play. Maybe she wasn't as prepared as she thought she would be to be out in a public setting like that, dealing still with some residue from having lost her hair and the trauma involved in it. And maybe, you know, Chris not really being understanding about the sensitivity of the condition, you know, maybe for both of them, all three of them. You know, maybe there is room for second guessing all three of their behaviors. But definitely, and I'm saying definitely, it didn't require on national TV, you know, a brother being cold-cocked by another brother.
especially yeah. when comments were made at the opening of the show. Well, this young lady was talking about obviously making reference to Will and Jada's monogamy issues, and nobody had, you know, but see, we don't have the inside track of all that. You know, we don't know how Hollywood does Hollywood. All we get to do is judge what we see and then try to assign human behavior to what we just saw. You know, to me,
and
in a rational, normal moment, I think it would have been dealt with different. I don't think if all three of us were talking with Oprah that Will would have, well, but you don't know, he might have jumped up off the couch and slapped the shit out of Chris Rock.
No, Oprah would have smacked the shit out of Will.
That would have been
like,
terrible. Oh, my God. His career would have been over.
it's funny because I've seen a lot of different posts, and a lot of the posts are Will Smith punched Chris Rock.
Yeah, it looked like it at first, but he slapped him. And Matt, Chris Rock said, Will Smith just slapped
the
shit out of him.
He slapped him, man. He slapped him. You can see the open
but
hands
Chris
and everything.
Chris said it. He said, wow, I don't believe it. Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me.
Smacked the shit out of me, But you also have to give props to Chris Rock. He took it like a champ.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. After everything else is said and done, who was the professional? Man.
I would have been
on the floor. I would have been on the floor crying, sucking my thumb.
Look, I and I'm sorry that I'm laughing at, you know, whenever I just keep seeing this slap, man. And it's like he's leaning in, Chris Rock is leaning in, smiling, thinking. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I've had so many situations working security. And you know, you can't throw the first punch, but you know that it might be coming, but you still gotta just be there but not confrontational, thinking like they're not gonna really do it. So he's like, oh, he's not really gonna do it. Hey, Will, he got the big smile. Hey, man. Hey, King Richard. And
walking up, man. Then proud, you know, like I was expecting them to do a little, you know, a little parody, a little skit
or something,
man.
Yeah.
But
see,
for me, you know, what you just said for me was every day growing up, you know, because that's what we did. We did battle all the time, best friends, whatever. But it was always fist to fist, skin to skin. It was never the threat, you know, of death. You know, even if you wanted to beat the shit out of somebody. But that's what we, you know, what we did. And you always wanted to be on guard about the dude walking up on you because it was always the anticipation of the punch. But that's how I grew up. You know, that was the real reality of the time that I was raised in. You know, so obviously this smacking somebody on national TV in a prestigious event ain't supposed to ever happen. But regardless, I thought Chris handled it like a champ, you know, man. I mean,
but his knees didn't buckle. There was no tear coming out of his eye. He's like,
no, you know, that's the other thing. His bottom lip wasn't quivering.
there was no blood.
Like
a tooth didn't fly out of his mouth or anything. And not to make light of it. I'm making fun of it. But, you know, his tooth didn't fly off across the stage. He's like, okay,
hey,
I'm,
man, he
I'm,
took it
I'm
like
sorry.
A champ, man. Yeah, he said that to him. He said, okay, I won't. And
won't
Will repeated the statement a second time. But when he said it the first time, don't let any my wife's name come out of your effing mouth. He said, okay, I won't.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that was good enough. Will had to say it again with the same thing, you know.
No, with more.
Like, wow,
man.
So what do you do then? You know, say, okay, man, cool, all right. You just slapped me, but that's okay. You know, I won't
do
it again.
How many times do I have to say I'm sorry?
Yeah, that was a very selfish moment, you know, when you consider all the people who are, who were witness to it. It's like, you know, I get to take this moment, and I get to make a statement, and I get to get all of what I need to get out of me, you know, at everybody else's expense. Yeah, that's pretty deep, you know.
And then he comes
but
up and is like,
at the same time, all of us have lost our temper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But comes up and says, you know, I played this role and I had to defend my family and I defend this person and defend that person and defend this person and defend that person.
Yeah. Yeah, but he also had enough. You know, you talked about Chris and being quick on his feet. Will had enough about himself to say, I guess I haven't stepped out of my role yet. You know, so, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't aware of what just went down. You know.
Yeah.
That was a long walk from his seat to where Chris was there.
Yeah.
That's a long walk to think about what you want to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't wasn't long enough.
And still do it because he could have.
It wasn't long enough for Chris.
Chris took that
Will
shot.
Will did what he wanted to do. Yeah.
Chris should have got folded, though. I'm just saying, Chris did get folded.
Yeah.
That dude licked his shoe. He went all the way down to the floor. But he came back up and held his spot.
He bounced
back
up, man. He came up quicker than Ali did when Joe Frazier co-copped him, man.
You know,
but
I mean,
at least they were in the boxing ring. They were expecting punches. You know. Look here, man. Will walked up there.
Him.
He strode up there. He knew where he was. He hit this cat. He strode back, and he still yelled out great obscenity. And when he apologized, he made sure he did not apologize. And you could see him struggling with, no, I ain't going to apologize to this dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the anger was still there. You know, and that, those were tears of anger. I don't care what anybody says, man. Look, I've been a counselor long enough to know the difference. You know, when a black man is crying out of regret and when those tears of anger is the only thing he has to show, you know, his emotional state at the time, man. I've seen that look 100 times coming from a brother, you know, that you would rather see my tears than what I really want to do. Yeah, man. You know, he wasn't done with that. He wasn't done with that at all yet. He was, if he could have, he would, and what a beautiful time he could have just talked about what his wife's disease was like and what she's gone through and what so many black women and Hispanic women go through. You know, I mean, that would have been a shining moment there, man. You know, but it was all about him. It's all about him. You know, he didn't even apologize to his wife, you know, for his behavior, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about him, man.
It's too bad his first Oscar has an asterisk to it now, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. But I didn't put an asterisk. I put a fist up today. Well, you know, and you did get a chance to talk about the fact that was the second time that him and Denzel were nominated, and Denzel won the first time. I mean, these are the stories that should have came out, you know, that now they got, now they're in a tie, you know, two brothers nominated at the same time, and Denzel won the first time, and Will won the second time. That's the kind of stories, man, that's what I'm talking about, but hey, what do I know? Let's go to the face slap. You know, and that's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
And you better believe it's going to be warmed up as the Oscars grow nearer and nearer next year. And the jokes are going to be falling out the ceiling.
Well, yeah, lots of material now, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Hey, Adam, man, I'm sorry. I'm glad we at least got you in. I know you have a lot more to say, man, but, you know, I have a feeling we're going to still be talking about this a little more Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I'll be in the queue.
Yeah.
Right on. I'm sure there's
so
going to be.
To bring you in, man. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I didn't want to cut off Adam.
No, I love listening to you guys. I love interjecting when I get a chance. But you guys do a great job, and I appreciate you guys all the time, and that's why I love listening to you guys.
My man.
Appreciate you, man. Love you, too.
Absolutely. Been with us from the start.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Dad, anything else in closing before we close?
No,
before
man.
We get out of here?
Just thanking Adam for his comments, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks again, Adam.
And thank you, Will, man, for, you know, for refereeing this hour. And this hour and a half, man. Right on, man. Beautiful job.
You know, in all joking aside, I mean, it is kind of a messed up situation to see what happened like that, because, you know, I don't really care a lot about Chris's comedy, but, you know, there's still a time to be professional, and it's just a time to be professional. It's a time to, you know, do things when eyes ain't watching, if you know what I mean. And it's unfortunate that happened. So, you know, I just hope that we all
can maybe learn something or talk about something, you know, maybe find some resolution to things, a solution, or maybe a beginning to something to further help somebody else, you know, rather it's anger issues or mental issues or healthy relationship issues with your other person. I don't know. You know, hopefully we can grow from what happened last night. So,
amen.
That's
right on.
That's my thing for
keep
tonight.
Keep hope alive, brother.
Keep hope alive, man. Throw the fist up in the air, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Greenhouse Sex
Radio
Show.
Throw it up in the air.
Throw it in the air. Just don't hit nobody with it.
Yeah, throw it in the air. You know, don't collide with some obstacle. Just throw it in the air.
This is the Greenhouse Effect Show, ladies and gentlemen, an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even deeper connection to others and their experiences, especially when we share interpretations and feelings.
Right on.
So I'm Will. That's Bill over there.
Hey,
until
Sue.
Wednesday.
See you out there. All right. Yeah.
Hey, Sue. Everybody be safe, be blessed, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Have a good night. All right, Dad, I'll holler at you Wednesday. Amen, everybody.
Love you, Will. Yeah.
Love you, too.